The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
We've been hearing the OMA public inquiry is starting today. It's being chaired by Lord Alan Turnbull, a respected jurist. He was one of the lead prosecutors in the Pan Am Flight 103 bombing trial. The inquiry will investigate whether UK state authorities could reasonably have acted to prevent the mass killing. The car bomb was the single deadliest atrocity of the Troubles, killing 29 people and unborn twins. And the attack occurred less than 3 months after people took to the polls to vote in favour of the Good Friday peace deal. One of those who died was 21-year-old Aidan Gallagher, and I'm joined on the line now by his father, Michael Gallagher. Good morning, Michael.
Hello, good morning, Pat.
This day has been a long, long time coming, Michael, and I'm sure at some point you thought you never would see this day.
You're absolutely right. It's been a long, hard struggle. We have met with prime ministers, with Taoiseachs, with presidents, and we've urged them to hold a public inquiry. And I still wake up in the morning and think, how did we manage to get the public inquiry in the end? But I'm also aware that there were other events that had public inquiries very shortly after the event. For example, the Manchester Arena bombing, that inquiry happened less than 4 years after the event. And we heard that this week passed that the person that murdered the three young children in Southport, the Prime Minister, almost immediately after the trial, said there will be a public inquiry. But in Northern Ireland, it seems to be a very, very long time. It seems to me personally that the government is unwilling to open their books. They've got something to hide. And, you know, it was just such a horrendous event. But I know that governments generally are, you know, don't support victims in the way they should. And, you know, just looking last year at the Stardust tragedy, it took, I think, 48 years for a public inquiry. And the Monaghan Dublin families still haven't got the truth about what happened in that terrible bombing.
What explanations have they given you over the years for turning down a public inquiry, which seems on the face of it to be so obviously merited?
There's a couple of explanations to give. One of the ones that was used quite a lot is there are people before the courts facing serious charges, and we have to allow that process to take place. The other one is there was various inquiries, such as the Police Ombudsman's Office and the Northern Ireland Committee holds inquiries. Various inquiries were being held, and they've used those as a barrier. And I think they just, at the end, they just ran out of road. And I took the Secretary of State, Theresa Villiers, to court. And that was in 2012-13. And it was only last year that the Secretary of State, Chris Heaton Harris, granted us a public inquiry, which we were extremely grateful for. But in that court process, Judge Horner highlighted the issues that you've just mentioned at the start of this conversation, that there was a possibility, a reasonable possibility, that this atrocity was preventable. And it was on those grounds that we were granted a public inquiry.
Now, the question then will be, who knew what and when? Who were the informants? What was the quality of the information? And it'll be chaired by Alan Turnbull, a very eminent QC. Do you have confidence in what he will adduce from everything that is put before him?
We met shortly after he was appointed. We met with Alan Turnbull, and I must say I was hugely impressed by him. He was one of the prosecutors in the Lockerbie bombing, and he has also got a very strong team, and I have absolute confidence in them. And, you know, I have and will continue to support them. And I would just urge anyone who has any knowledge or information or documentation to come forward and share it with the inquiry. and support them in the difficult work that they have to do.
Are you concerned, Michael, that many of the people who might be relevant to this have now gone on to meet their own makers, and much of the evidence may have been lost either deliberately or accidentally with the passage of time?
I think this is always a fear, but it's a double-edged sword, because that passage of time, sometimes people don't have the same loyalties as they had 26 years ago. And there has been a huge amount of material gathered during that period. So, you know, it works both ways. And you're absolutely right. There will be people that would be important to give evidence at this inquiry that are no longer with us. But I think that if both the British and Irish governments open their books and support the inquiry, I think that that will go a long way towards getting to the bottom of some of the serious questions that the families have been asking for the past 26 years.
Now, 26 years, it's half a lifetime for many people. And your son, Aidan, who died at the age of 21, in your mind, he's frozen at that age forever.
He will always be 21. And in our house, when we're talking about things past, we always talk about the good times or the bad times, and the good times were up to that point on Saturday the 15th of August. And you know, that's the unfortunate reality of the way it will be.
When you think about it, he would be a middle-aged man now. He'd be almost 50 years of age. Hard to contemplate, but the memories of him, as I say, will always be forever young.
Absolutely. And his younger sister, he had two sisters, one older and one younger. And Kathy, as his younger sister, she now has two beautiful children. And, you know, and Aidan's friends have got married and have children. And that's one of the things that we as parents have been denied.
And they are constant reminders of what might have been for Aidan in his young life, but which so tragically taken from him on that day in August of 1998. Your own memories of them, I mean, I'm sure they're still vivid, but you're also sure that you've had to learn to live with those awful days too.
Yes. I mean, if you had said to me before the bomb that this is going to happen, I would have said I couldn't survive after. But as you would well imagine, my wife and Aidan were extremely close. You know, he loved to go out at the weekend with his friends, and he would come in the early hours of the morning. He would come into our bedroom, and he would sit on the side of the bed beside my wife, and he would talk through what had happened that evening. And you know, I would say, you know, go to your bed, and we'll talk about this in the morning. How she survived, how she managed, I will never ever understand. And her father, who shared the same birthday with Aidan, died 11 days after Aidan. And I've no doubt that contributed to that, because when we were in the chapel and Aidan was being carried out, I could see her father was thinking, that should be me in that box, not Aidan.
Now, Michael, this is probably the final chapter in this whole long and difficult story, and I'm sure you're optimistic that the truth will come out. Whatever the outcome is, do you think it'll bring you peace at last?
Well, I think that I have dedicated the past 26 years to getting to the truth and to getting this public inquiry. I went from house to house, from office to office, carrying the paperwork and the books. And I think for me, this is the beginning of the end. I haven't got the energy, you know, to carry on after this. I think that this is the beginning of the end. And I do sincerely hope that we get those important answers that we're entitled to.
Have you had reassurances from the Irish government and from either the Northern Ireland office or indeed from Westminster that you will get everything that is still extant to contribute to this inquiry?
Well, I don't need to tell you about the intelligence services in both countries, but I wouldn't say I'm absolutely confident. I'm really super hopeful that both governments will open their books and cooperate and give us those answers. Those secrets, I mean, it was 26 years ago. It's not going to be something that's going to change the world if they tell the truth. The truth, it will hurt the British and Irish governments, but what is that compared to what those 31 people and their families and over 300 that were injured have had to deal with in the past 26 years? I do sincerely hope that this is the end.
And you wonder at the end of all of this whether what will come out is the cock-up theory of history rather than malice. I mean, that is a possible outcome as well, that just people didn't do what they were supposed to do on the day and it was just, you know, carelessness or whatever.
I have a very open mind and I've always supported, I support the police and I support the Garda, and that's the way most of us are, and we just hope. It's not in my mind to think that any government would put such a plan together. But it is important to learn the lessons, and that is an important part of this process, is to learn what was done well. And I've no doubt in OMA some things were done well, and the things that were not done so well, we learn from and pass it on to others so that if they find themselves in a national emergency such as that, they will be in a better position to mitigate the circumstances. I hope that's not a bomb. It could be a plane crash, a train crash, a chemical spill. But whatever it is, I think those 31 lives should really count.
Michael, thank you very much for joining us on the line. Michael Gallagher, whose son Aidan was killed in that awful bombing in OMA more than 26 years ago.
Thank you, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.